During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Adam Teicher from ESPN joins us now to talk Chiefs. Good morning, Adam. How are you?
Good, Stephen. How are you guys doing today?
Doing just terrific. Chiefs win 42-21. It was scoreless at the end of the first quarter. Then the Steelers scored a defensive touchdown. What was going through your mind when it was 7-0 Steelers?
I was wondering whether the Chiefs were going to snap out of it. And I got my answer on the next six possessions, so they obviously did. But, you know, they were playing with fire there. I mean, that was the one path the Steelers had to victory yesterday, was the Chiefs helping them out, you know, with the interception earlier in the game. And then after the long punt return, and then the touchdown they scored on defense. And that was the one thing the Chiefs couldn't do. Otherwise, you felt like if the game were, you know, everything were equal, the Chiefs would win the game fairly handily. But you know, you wonder, okay, were the Chiefs going to be able to stem the tide there and turn things around, or was this the start of something really bad? So, we got our answer, and we've seen that from them many times in the Mahomes era. In the playoffs, they just have another gear at this time of year that is when they get to it, it's really something to see.
Adam Teicher from ESPN is our guest. Adam, one of the storylines from training camp was how good Jerick McKinnon looked, but that's dangerous to take too much away from training camp. But when we talked about him fitting into this offense, it was one caveat: hey, he's had tremendous difficulty staying healthy. But even last year, he scored six touchdowns with the 49ers. I saw some things that I liked that he could offer on the depth chart to the Chiefs. It really didn't pan out. He had that gorgeous touchdown against the Denver Broncos, but boy, he was a star last night. And I know the Steelers' run defense isn't very good, but I mean, he was so good last night, not only running the football but catching the football. I don't see how you could take him out of the lineup. How do they utilize Jerick McKinnon moving forward? Was that just a one night thing, or do you think this guy could have a Damian Williams type of postseason?
Yeah, but why can't he have a Damian Williams type of postseason? You know, I think he's got that kind of ability. You know, I think he's built for this kind of stuff. And, you know, he talked last week and he said, you know, he missed, you know, four or five games earlier in the season because of a hamstring. And he kind of said, hey, that was maybe a blessing in disguise because it left him fresh for a situation like this. So, you know, it's one of those deals. And in terms of, you know, you called him a star in the, you know, at running back. Have we used that term with Clyde Edwards-Helaire at all this year?
No.
After a game that he was a star? I don't know how the Chiefs justify fitting Jerick McKinnon at this point. I mean, he doesn't have to get the ball all the time. He doesn't have to be the only featured back they use. And I think Darrell Williams has a place. Maybe even Clyde Edwards-Helaire has a place. But I feel like going back to the way it was when Edwards-Helaire and Williams are okay is a mistake on the part of the Chiefs. I think Jerick McKinnon has done enough to show he should be part of this, and then maybe they're more dangerous when he's on the field than when he's not. And, you know, you talked about that touchdown he scored in Denver, and that was a great play. But, you know, remember the Chiefs were giving him the ball at the end of the game when they were trying to run out the clock, and he was doing the job there. So, I think, like, he's earned it. I feel like he's part of the solution and not part of the problem. So, I'll just say this. It's a mistake if the Chiefs go back to the way things were if Edwards-Helaire and Williams are back to 100% against the Bills.
Do you think they will?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm sure they're sorting through all that right now. And, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire has now missed what? Three games, is that right? And you know, how much do you want to heap on him anyway, even if he's ready to go on Sunday? How much do you want to give to him? You know, so, and then where's Darrell Williams? Is this an injury that's going to linger? I mean, those are questions that have to be answered first. But I think you know, there should be no hesitation that if those guys aren't 100% or even if they are, you got to make Jerick McKinnon part of the deal. You know, have some things for him and let him go to work because you know he's kind of been. We saw it in camp, like you said, Stephen. I don't know that you necessarily do. You can make too much of what you see at camp. You know, that's a pretty good indicator of what a guy's got. And I thought back then he was going to have a bigger role this year, and he hasn't. But now we know what he can do for the Chiefs in a big game. Why not feed him the ball a little more?
And what I like from him is something that Clyde really has not offered the Chiefs, especially this year, the possibility of a big play, explosiveness. And I think Jerick McKinnon possesses that, and that's what he has ahead of the other running backs on the roster.
Yep. Darrell Williams certainly doesn't have that kind of explosiveness. So I just think it's a different dimension. And Andy Reid's always talking about different giving defenses different looks and different flavors and giving them different things to worry about. Why would you sit that down at this point? Why would you just say, no, explosiveness at running back, we don't need that. We're good with the guys we got. With Edward Solaire and Darrell Williams. That's a mistake.
I'm with you. I mean, Gore's shown the ability to make a big play, but not sure they trust him in all situations like Dean McKinnon. I'm with you. Ride that pony as long as he'll take you. And it could be all the way to the Super Bowl. All right.
And look how they got rewarded for doing that very thing with Damian Williams
right.
a couple years
yep.
ago, right?
That's exactly so, right.
Let's learn some history here.
All right. We have Adam Teicher on the line. Look. 400-plus yards passing, 5 touchdown passes. He had the 1 interception, but the numbers yesterday just pop off the stat sheet. And for that span, like you tweeted out, it took him 10.5 minutes of game time to deliver those 5 touchdown passes. It was so, and we've seen this in the playoffs. They get off to a slow start. You don't know what's going on. At the end of the first quarter, they were down 7-0. But just like that, like the way they put all those points up against the Houston Texans, I didn't think they'd be up 21-7 by halftime, and they sure as hell were. It was just an unbelievable show of force when they got down to Pittsburgh. They absolutely blew them out of the water.
Yeah, and you know, it would be incredible if we hadn't seen it so many times before. I mean, was this any more spectacular than what we saw against Houston a couple years ago, or Tennessee, that late burst they had in the first half, or the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, or last year against the Bills in the AFC Championship when they got down early. I mean, we've seen this kind of thing so many times, and that's why I say that Chiefs seem to have a gear in this time of year. I mean, they might need it on Sunday, by the way, but all you can do is sit there and just marvel at it because it truly was spectacular. I mean, 5 touchdown passes in 10.5 minutes. I mean, how often does that happen? It never happens. So just amazing to see.
Yeah, it's never even come close to happening in the playoffs before. In terms of how fast they got to those 5 touchdown passes. One of the storylines, too, for me, Adam, the whole season, we've talked with you about it since preseason training camp, was who was going to establish themselves as the number 3 wide receiver. And we kept kind of coming back to it's probably going to have to be by committee. There probably isn't going to be one guy that steps up to be that third pass-catching target. D-Rob, Hardman, Pringle all had solid games yesterday and made big plays. Pringle with 2 touchdowns. Hardman had 4 catches for 43. Robinson had 4 catches for 76. How important do you think that is? You just mentioned this game coming up against the Bills, not much room for error. How important of a development do you think that is that all 3 of those guys played a key role in the offense last night?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's the way it's going to have to be, that you know the Chiefs are going to have to get either a big game from one of them or contributions from all of them for this thing to work the way they want it to work. And so, I mean, I don't think that should be overlooked. That's certainly a key deal. And, you know, Mahomes threw a touchdown pass to a wide receiver, a running back, a tight end, and an offensive lineman, and that's only happened like 3 times in NFL history in a game. So, you know, that was kind of an interesting side thing as well. And, you know, I would have guessed, like 3 months ago or something, that Josh Gordon would have been that guy, you know, that he was going to be that guy to step up and be that next threat for the Chiefs. And obviously I would have been wrong. So, you know, hey, the Chiefs are fine moving forward, I think, at this point without him. At one point I would have told you, yeah, if it's not going to be Josh Gordon, the Chiefs might be in trouble, but don't feel that way now.
Were you surprised that he was inactive and Reese Fountain was on the roster?
Yeah, I was. I mean, it's obviously for special teams considerations. I mean, you know, the Chiefs, you get that spare receiver who doesn't play much. It's tough to not get anything at all out of him as a special teams player. So that's where why the Chiefs made that decision. And it makes sense. I mean, if you know, Gordon, no impact at all this year. He did score that one touchdown that the Chiefs tried to spoon feed him to get him going against the Raiders a few weeks ago. But other than that, there's just really been nothing. So it's hard to say he's earned any playing time at this point.
Hey, everybody. Joe Spiker, owner of Easton Roofing here. For almost 10 years, we've been a locally owned and operated family business. At Easton, we work on every job with one thing in mind. Integrity matters. I grew up in Central Kansas, was raised on the values of respecting hard work. At Easton, we always make decisions based on the ethical, right thing for the customer. That's what integrity means to us. So if you have any questions about your roof, give me and my team a call. 913-257-5426. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
We have Adam Teicher on the line. Okay, Adam, Sunday, 5:30 at Arrowhead. It's the Buffalo Bills against the Chiefs, and they had what's been called the NFL's first ever perfect offensive game against a top-five defense led by Bill Belichick. No punts, no interceptions, no fumbles lost, no field goals, all touchdowns on every single drive until the kneel-downs. So it was simply an outstanding performance. And these two teams, when you watch those games and see everything on paper, I mean, this is one hell of a matchup. I think the winner of this game goes to the Super Bowl. And so what's your early read on this matchup? We saw the Bills come to Arrowhead and win earlier this season. It's a rematch from last year's AFC Championship game. What do you think of this matchup coming up on Sunday at Arrowhead?
Well, I don't think it's incorrect or too much hype or anything to say this is kind of the de facto AFC Championship game. I mean, who doesn't think that these two teams really are the two best in the AFC? Doesn't mean either one's going to the Super Bowl, but I feel like it's going to happen, whoever wins this game, and I'm really looking forward to this. I mean, you know, you think of the Chiefs playoff games in the Mahomes era, you know, other than the New England game, I mean, when was a game you were really anticipating? You know, the Super Bowls for obvious reasons. I mean, those stakes are so high, but this is just a game you're really looking forward to seeing. I mean, this is probably the one since the New England AFC Championship game 3 years ago that you can say, okay, let's sit down and watch this thing. I mean, this is going to be really interesting. These are two really good teams, championship worthy teams here. Can't wait to see it. I wonder, if the Chiefs are going to defend Josh Allen any better than they did last time, or any better than the Patriots did last time. That to me is going to be the key. How do the Chiefs do on defensively? Can they get done some of the things they got done last night, or is it going to look like the Bengals game again? So, or the first Bills game again? So, I'm eager to see those things, and this is one I can't wait to see. I mean, this is got all the makings of a great game.
So how much can we learn from the first go-round between these two teams back in October, or is this a completely different game?
Well, I mean, that was 3 months ago, and I think both teams have changed since then, and that's certainly true for the Chiefs on defense. They're in a way different place than they were back then. So, hey, it's instructive. I mean, there's things, they can't let Josh Allen loose like they did last time around. I mean, that if he's going to have a game like that, wow, I don't know how the Chiefs are going to pull this off. But unless, Mahomes matches him and then some. So the Chiefs have to figure something out against Josh Allen because the way it was last time around was not good enough to win or anywhere close to it. But they're in a different place now, so who's to say that the Chiefs can't get there? I mean, I feel like Steve Spagnuolo and his staff are pretty good at figuring some things out and learning from past mistakes, so we'll see.
And Chris Jones was inactive for that game.
Yeah, he did not play. And one of, three games that the Chiefs didn't have a sack in, if I remember right, and he didn't play in any of them. So, You know, the Chiefs should have a fullback or at least close to it on defense. So, going to be different this time for sure.
Right, and Charvarius Ward didn't play either, yep. and the Chiefs had not acquired Melvin Ingram. So there's three defensive starters right there that will be a part of this game that were not the first time around. Now, Rashad Fenton, he hurt his back in pregame warmups. Any further information about that or any other dings or nicks or any minor injuries coming out of that game last night?
No, I mean, you know, I think Fenton was probably the one, the pregame injury, and too early to say whether he'll be back this week. But, you know, if the Chiefs play like they did on the corner last night, they won't need him. I mean, there was guys, Ward and Sneed particularly did a nice job last night.
And Andrew Wiley, I know that the Chiefs used a wide variety of tactics to try to deal with T.J. Watt, but Andrew Wiley continues in big matchups against star players to hold his own.
Yeah. I mean, that's his job now, right? I mean, no looking over his shoulder for him. And Mike Remmers isn't around. Lucas Niang isn't around. So that's his job. And he's done a nice job. I mean, better than you had a right to expect, right? Or the Chiefs had a right to expect after the way he played in the Super Bowl last year. But he's done a nice job. And, credit for the Chiefs for hanging on to him. Former starter, they kept around, even though he had no role the first part of the season, but certainly been a valuable guy coming off the bench the last several weeks.
I know it's early, but we'll ask anyway. Who do you anticipate facing off in the AFC Championship game?
Both these games are great. I can't wait for that Cincinnati-Tennessee game. I think that's going to be a great game also. You know what? I kind of like the Bengals. I've not been a Tennessee guy. Even before the season, I thought the Colts were going to win that division. Hey, the credit to Tennessee. They've done what they needed to do. Derrick Henry looks like he's coming back. They're not going to be an easy out. I'll say that. But I'm going to go with the Bengals. I think that team's playing well enough right now. Got a hot quarterback. Maybe the best receiver in the game now. I'm going to go with Cincinnati. Not an easy win, but I'll take Cincinnati to win. Wow, the other game, I'm going to flip a coin. I've gone back and forth already like five times on who I think is going to win. Right now, I'm in the Chiefs' place. I think the Chiefs will win a close game against the Bills, but I'll probably change my mind another 10 times, 20 times before the game starts on Sunday. I always tend to put too much stock in what happened the last time the two teams played. And that's a kind of a mistake I make, and I think you can make too much of those kinds of things. So I think it'll be a lot closer this time. I'll take the Chiefs in a close game, but I don't know. I'm not real confident in that one.
Adam, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, good stuff, Stephen. Talk to you then.
That is Adam Teicher from ESPN. We'll have some post-game sound from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes after this. Then we'll talk to Bill Moss at 9:05. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.